Hello, everyone, and Happy New Year. Welcome to the January 2025 Logistics Pulse audio program, co-produced by Logistics Plus and Armada Corporate Intelligence. Thank you, as always, to our partners at WPSC Money Radio for recording and editing today's show. Today is Friday, January 17th, and our first Executive Supply Chain Bulletin of the new year was released and emailed to subscribers yesterday afternoon. I am Scott Frederick, CMO for Logistics Plus, and with me is our guest partner and star of the show, Keith Prather, Managing Director of Armada Corporate Intelligence. Hey, Keith, did you hear about the guy who shoplifted a calendar on New Year's Day?
No, I did not, Scott.
Yeah, they gave him 12 months.
Hey, at least it wasn't a Chiefs joke.
Yeah, we won't go there.
Those will be coming later. Yeah.
Well, hey, I don't know for sure what the next 12 months are going to bring us, but here are the headlines from this month's bulletin. Let me just kind of read through them real quick, and then we can kind of discuss some of the main points here. But Q4 GDP is now estimated at 2.7%, about 0.2 higher than Q4 of last year, or the year prior, I should say. Holiday retail sales came in at 3.8% higher than a year ago, slightly above expectations. Our Logistics Pulse Global Logistics Index inched up 9 basis points to 54.5, which means demand for global logistics is increasing. Diesel fuel prices are forecasted to be about 10 cents less per gallon in 2025, so that's good news. Intermodal freight volumes are forecasted to be 4.8% higher in 2025 after 9.9% growth in this most current year to 2024. So that's interesting. Global manufacturing remains in contraction in 15 of the top 30 countries around the world, and 19 of them actually slipped in December. So curious to get your perspective on that. Recent KPMG survey found that 47% of global supply chain executives still see their business as being vulnerable to disruption. We have tariff risks and inflation, which remain concerns as the Trump administration takes office next week. And lastly, strikes by U.S. forces on Houthi rebels in late December and early January seem to be providing some relief to the commercial shipping industry. So those are our headlines. As always, these topics are carefully curated by the Armada team with editorial oversight from Logistics Plus. And for this program, I will ask, as usual, the dumb questions, and Keith will provide some good answers for me. So, Keith, let's start with the GDP and retail sales. How do these factors impact the world of logistics?
Well, that's a good question. You know, it seems simple on the outset, but actually it's pretty complex. GDP in Q4 was driven really heavily by consumer spending. About 80% of GDP was attributed to consumer spending, when normally we'd get about 70%. So the consumer spending component was a little bit higher percentage on what looks like a pretty good growth rate at the end of the year. So the U.S. consumer is still spending. And even though we didn't have it in the briefing, Scott, we've talked so much about the different levels of household income and how the upper half of the population has actually been doing very well through the last 2 or 3 years because they're less exposed to inflation risk. The bottom half of the population, though, which is highly exposed to inflation risk, has been struggling. And as we go into 2025, it's that bottom end of the population that seems to be getting a little bit of breathing room. And as they get a little bit of breathing room, you know, they've gone 3 or 4 years now without really being able to do a lot of discretionary spending. So buying apparel, buying electronics, going in and buying the non-essentials, you know, we're about to activate that part of the population, and it's about 78 million households. So if they start spending a little bit more, then, you know, this healthy GDP rate, what we saw with good consumer spending and retail activity, then trickles down through the whole supply chain, going all the way from, you know, the manufacturing process and, you know, buying raw materials and, you know, buying components and buying all those things that go into the assembly line process and then everything downstream. So it really does kind of create a brand new business cycle like we talked about last month. And the strong GDP and retail growth figures just give us confidence that that supply chain reset is really underway.
Yeah, and some of that I think is playing into your models. As I mentioned, we call out some very bullish intermodal forecast in this month's bulletin. But I know some of your other models that Armada tracks across some of the other modes are equally bullish, specifically trucking and air sectors as well. Care to comment on those, Keith?
Yeah, and we did put those in the briefing, at least one of them this time. We ran the trucking index last time. And yeah, they are all bullish right now. And again, I think part of it is the inventory reset process. I think some of it is positive signals on the consumer front. We've got really good, stable jobs activity. So you've got good job creation and good wage growth. And with wages now, you know, running somewhere around 4% and with inflation about 2.7%, it really does give a lot of households a lot of leeway to spend. So that just fuels, you know, more consumption, more spending, and in turn then boosts intermodal, you know, inbound. You know, we've got other factors that are helping that. So we've got a really strong U.S. dollar at the moment. And really, to be frank, and I know we'll probably get into tariffs here in a little bit, but, you know, even without the tariff risk or with the tariff risk, I still think the inbound volumes coming in, the intermodal volumes are still going to be pretty strong.
All right. Well, that's good news for the shipping and logistics industry. And obviously, Logistics Plus is looking forward to working with shippers on managing some of that freight. What about maritime shipping? It seems we dodged a bullet earlier this month when the Gulf and East Coast U.S. dock workers and shipping companies reached a tentative labor deal. That was going to be potentially a big impact for us if they didn't reach that deal. So we also have some reshuffled alliances among big ocean carriers beginning this year. How do you see this all playing out? And do you see any potential shifts from air to ocean or vice versa?
Yeah, so a lot to unravel here. And I didn't talk about air in the last question. I'll touch on that as well. But I think the maritime industry is going to be going through a little bit of a tug of war. So I do think the Red Sea situation kind of improves. And I do think we get to the point where we are seeing better efficiency and flow of goods around the world, right? So if you think about the fact that, you know, we added 11 days of transit time with the Red Sea closure, you know, we may be adding that back in, which creates a lot of efficiency, maybe frees up to 10% of global ocean capacity. So things like the alliance that would theoretically tighten capacity, it may start activating at a time when we see global capacity freeing up anyway. So I don't know if it's a complete net wash. You know, if the conditions we have today are the conditions we'll get, you know, when we kind of get a little bit deeper into 2025, or if we do see ocean cargo free up a little bit. Also, now that we've got the strikes out of the way and a lot of the congestion and a lot of the disruptions out of the way and that risk out of the way, I think there's more certainty for supply chain managers when they're ordering. They know that if they're given a 4 or 5 week transit time door to door, that they know that that's probably going to be pretty accurate and they can count on that. And I think that'll go into how they manage inventories. I think that will help them with planning so that they can shift a little bit more volume, maybe to maritime and not use as much air cargo. That's one bit of thinking. And as long as consumption is still strong, I don't think they're going to be as afraid to build a little extra inventory. So I do think maritime will see, you know, good volume, good attention, but there is the potential for us to see what we call modal migration, right, through the process where we do see, you know, people move up modes and down modes to try and just create that supply chain efficiency. And again, all of that comes because we've got a little more certainty in just normal transit times. So if I'm trying to move something by truck and I had a lot of uncertainty in the trucking industry, you know, maybe over the last few years, you know, and so, or maybe I have inventory uncertainty, you know, maybe it was easier for me to go use air cargo and go tuck in a pallet here or there to be able to meet, you know, stockout needs. Now, maybe I do rely and I go down mode and I do move a little bit more from air cargo into trucking because I have a little more certainty in the reliability of those modes. So anyway, I rambled a lot there, but I do think we're coming into a period where we could see the volatility, the risk, you know, strikes, conflict, those things kind of coming out of the global supply chain. And when you get back into a period of certainty, then I think that gives some interesting options for supply chain managers and how they move and shift between modes and how they actually, you know, handle and manage their supply chain.
Yeah. Well, we know, and I think we touched on it in the bulletin, some of those lanes, you know, coming out of Asia and Middle East going into the US remain very elevated. So obviously a more balanced capacity situation and will hopefully bring down rates a little bit and be more reasonable for supply chain managers.
Well, yeah, and we are just coming out of, you know, the end of the strike threat. So we're still in that cycle where, yeah, companies tried to get ahead. And so you still have some of that inbound freight that we're working through and processing. And the Red Sea is still shut down. So yeah, we're not there yet.
I mentioned earlier, one of the headlines we cover is regarding the global manufacturing and some global sourcing trends. How do you see those trends playing out in the coming year, Keith?
Yeah, so it's interesting. We're going to be adding tariff risk into the mix. You know, we've had tariffs that were imposed really since the Obama administration, but in the Trump first term in 2018 and 2019, we applied a bunch of tariffs. The dirty little secret there is that we had nearly 55,000 exclusions to tariffs filed during that time period, and a little over 18,000 exclusions were granted. So when we come into this next Trump term, even though he's talking about blanket tariffs, in actual practice and the way they're rolled out, it will feel a little more surgical and maybe a little more commodity by commodity or product by product. But that uncertainty is the thing that drives supply chain managers crazy. And they will be looking at supply chain diversification. So it's sourcing diversification. I mean, you mentioned it early on with the headlines that we're still seeing about 47% of global supply chain managers still working on or still concerned about their current sourcing strategies and whether they've got it right yet, and that they feel like they may not be diversified enough. And so I do think you're going to continue to see these diversification trends. So we saw a lot of sourcing shift away from China and, you know, some of the areas in Asia, but primarily out of China flowing into, and we see a little more sourcing coming out of some of the smaller Asian countries, the ASEAN countries. We see some of it shifting to India, but then we also see a big percentage of it through diversification, looking at Mexico and maybe even Canada. And then, of course, you've got a big contingent that's looking at just U.S. domestic reshoring. Again, we see a lot of construction trends right now showing tremendous amount of construction activity, building out manufacturing facilities and industrial assembly lines in the United States. So I think that will continue. And we know that the Trump administration is going to continue to, you know, be not combative, that's the wrong term, that's not fair, but they can continue to play tough with specifically China and some of the adversaries that we've got. So I think it still keeps supply chain managers on their toes. I think they still have to look for some of those bigger, broader solutions to really make sourcing a little bit smoother.
Well, those are definitely some trends we'll be monitoring in the bulletin over the coming months this year, I'm sure. So stay tuned for that. Even though I didn't mention it in the beginning of the program, we always include the Fed's latest producer price indices for all modes of transportation and warehousing. I know we touched a little bit on the pricing and some of the modes, but any thoughts on some of the trends you're seeing with those indices and where they're headed for 2025?
Yeah, and if we're being honest, I mean, I think we're probably at a bit of a trough right now. I think when you start looking at contract negotiations, whether it's in trucking or whatever mode it happens to be in, into 2025, I think things get a little more aggressive and get a little tighter from here. And, you know, for instance, in the LTL sector, we really don't fully understand the impact of the yellow closure yet. We haven't had a normal, you know, supply chain demand environment for trucking since Yellow went out of business in July of 2023. We've kind of still been in this inventory overstock overhang that's affected, you know, national demand. And so trucking has still been in a little bit of this secular recession over the last 2 years. But we're coming out of that. We know that. We know inventories are balanced. We know only 14% of logistic managers today believe that they're sitting heavier than they want to be with inventories. So that's essentially the reset. And as activity picks up this year, even if we don't see big surges in demand, just regular demand with depleted inventories creates a lot of new activity. And that's kind of a complex concept there. But as we move into 2025 and a little bit deeper, and especially as we kind of get toward the peak season, I do think producer prices go up from here. So I don't know that I'm ready to give like some specific percentages on what I think those increases are, but I know that contract negotiations, whether, you know, it's across maritime, air cargo, rail or trucking, have all, you know, been a little bit tighter, and there's a little more optimism about 2025. And I think carriers are realizing that things are going to tighten up a little bit, and they are trying to take a little more price. Now, offsetting that, Scott, is going to be what we think is going to be some fairly moderate fuel prices over the next year. So, you know, we'll see how that plays out. But right now, it does look like we're going to have some cheaper fuel, which will help out overall.
Yep. That'll be good. For those new to Logistics Pulse, a couple additional items we track every month in the bulletin are maritime capacity trends, air cargo spot rates, and also we have an index for congestion at the U.S. ports. For the most part, all indicators seem to be things are improving over the 2024 benchmark, so that's encouraging as we go into 2025. I know we kind of already touched on the maritime capacity, a little bit on the cargo, air cargo rates. Obviously, the port situation is hopefully going to be improved now that this labor situation is behind us. Anything to add here, Keith, that we may have missed earlier on?
Yeah, I mean, I probably already covered most of it. You know, as we do look forward, I do think we are going to have to start watching labor again, and that could be an inflationary kind of factor we're going to have to deal with. So the labor market right now for transportation is starting to tighten up just a little bit. So we've had a fairly decent run of it over the last 2 years, but I think wage growth rates for carriers of all types across all industries are going to exceed what we see nationally. So national wage growth rates are somewhere around 4%, but it wouldn't be unexpected to see transportation go back into that 5% and 6% range. And those extra operating costs are going to filter down into prices. And so I think we could see a little more pressure there, even if we see a little bit of a reduction on the fuel side, as I said. Again, generally, I do think we're seeing probably the low point for pricing activity, and unfortunately, we probably go up from here.
Yeah. Well, hey, Keith, before I let you go, I mentioned tariffs and inflation risk at the beginning of the program. I think you even kind of teased some comments about tariffs. I don't know if you're going to give us some predictions here or if you have any final comments on that subject before we go.
Yeah. So unfortunately, I think, and we're just picking up a little bit of content from some folks who have met directly with President-elect Trump, and especially like the premier of Alberta met with him, and they're good friends. And she came back out of that meeting in Mar-a-Lago and was basically telling her manufacturing and distribution companies in Alberta, get ready because those 25% tariffs are coming. Now, I think, again, he does use that as a negotiation tactic. So I could easily see the Canada or Mexico tariffs at some point in time backing off. But I think we need to prepare for those 25% tariffs to start perhaps as early as next week. And then either through the process of filing those exclusions that I talked about on tariffs with the USTR, and then waiting to get approval on those exclusions, you know, I think we should be prepared for them to hit. Now, in 2018 and 2019, when he applied those tariffs, inflation at a macro level, when we look across the country, went from 1.7% to just 1.9%. So only 0.2% of an inflation. So if we apply it today, the risk you'd be talking about would be that we'd move from about 2.7% to 2.9%. So, you know, is it that dramatic? No, not at a macro level. But if you're an individual company, and all of a sudden your inbound costs go up, you know, somewhat, you know, it's not exactly 25%, but if that's what the net effect is, then that has a pretty significant impact on you. And so I do think that a lot of supply chain managers may be scrambling a little bit to try and figure out how to handle that situation, although many just won't have a choice. Many will go ahead and, you know, pay the import tariff tax and then, you know, have to pass those costs on to consumers or to other partners. So I do think at this point in time, we need to get ready for that. And then another 10% tacked on to China tariffs, which brings those tariffs up to almost 60%. So I think we're going to have to fight through it. And at least initially, we're going to have to deal with maybe, you know, the tariffs being imposed, and then maybe they get walked back over time after we see some performance from some of the companies or from the countries that he applies them on.
Well, it looks like we've got some interesting stuff we're going to have to unpack next month. So we'll see where things go between now and then. But for now, thank you again for your time, Keith, and your insights. As a reminder, you can visit logisticsplus.com/logisticspulse to view our January issue or subscribe to future issues. Logistics Pulse is a complimentary value-added intelligence briefing for Logistics Plus customers, partners, and prospects. So once again, Happy New Year, everyone. And until next time, be sure to keep your finger on the pulse of logistics.